There's been a lot of righteous anger in the church over the last couple of weeks, and I, for one, hope that continues until there are the reforms that are necessary are made. But today, I think the Lord sends a spirit of caution to us, a spirit of holy fear, of maybe looking back to ourselves at this time. For he gives us, in the first reading, the importance of the law and how the law was everything to the Old Testament people. They were to study that law and live that law. And then in the gospel, we see the Pharisees and the scribes, those who spent their entire lives studying that word, studying the laws, studying everything that went around those laws to protect them. And yet these Pharisees and scribes are the ones who are about to be locked out of the kingdom. They are about ready to reject the Lord. It reminds us in some ways of the priests and bishops who have fallen. These men didn't set out as seminarians thinking to themselves, one day I hope to have great power and be able to use it to protect my friends and protect myself and my name. They didn't start out as seminarians thinking, maybe one day I will grow perverse and I'll use my power to corrupt others and violate my chastity and my celibacy. They began with an idea to serve the Lord and to follow him. And so if these people, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, like the priests and the bishops, can fall so far, then all of us can fall very far. And so we ask ourselves, where does that sin come from along the way? And today, I would say, is the most fearful part of the scriptures. The Lord says, from within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within. It reminds us that although in baptism our hearts have been renewed, we've been given new hearts to love the Lord with, there is still concupiscence, that in a sense foreign element, that lends us to being overtaken by sin in a sense. And we can be honest and say, who would have the greatest target on their back from Satan? You know, the Lord said to Cain in Genesis 4, he said, sin is crouching to leap upon you. Its desire is for you, and you must master it. So who would sin most be crouching to get? Would it be the person whose life is just spent for themselves and doesn't affect anyone else and is no threat to his kingdom? Or would it be the priests, the bishops, the ones whose lives are meant to be spent serving the people, bringing the gospel, bringing the sacraments? And that's why it's so important that you pray for your priests and bishops. And it's been such a grace in these last few weeks knowing that you are. So many people have told me, we're praying for you. And in fact, I was with my priest group this last Sunday and Monday, and we were talking about how you can feel almost a shield of protection over us at this time, because so many lay people are lifting up their prayers. But if the priests and the bishops have a great target, then the greatest target was placed upon the first bishops and priests, the foundation of the church, the apostles. And so if we want to learn how do we not get mastered by sin, how do we master it, it's good for us to look back to the apostles. They are the masters of this battle. And if we go back to look at the apostles, I think one of the most important pieces comes about in the Last Supper scene, when, according to Matthew and Mark's gospel, Jesus announces that he is going to be betrayed by one of them. Their next response is, it says, they were saddened, and then one after the other said, surely it is not I, Lord. Surely it is not I. That was not a statement. It was a question. Think about that. The apostles knew themselves to be capable of the most horrible betrayal in human history. They knew in their hearts that each one of them was capable of making that mistake. That is humility. That's what protects. They did not trust in themselves at all, but they trusted completely in the power of Jesus Christ to protect them. Let me say that again. They had no trust in themselves at all, but absolute trust in the Lord Jesus to protect them. The other thing that we can learn from the apostles today comes from one of them who was at that table, St. James, who today we listen to his letter in that second reading. And he tells us not to delude ourselves. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding yourselves. I imagine most of those priests and bishops began by deluding themselves, saying to themselves, well, it's not a sin in this situation. Many had been taught in the seminaries in the 70s and 80s a sexual morality that was not Catholic morality, and that would lead to perversions by simply following it. But they began by rationalizing things, deluding themselves. How do we keep from deluding ourselves? The only way to do this is to be transparent, so that others can correct us, whether that be God correcting us, or our spouse, or our friends. But we must be transparent to get corrected. And so it's important that we have a friend or two that we can be completely honest with and not try to have a false face up all the time. In a sense, isn't that what Christian community is meant to be, a place of safety, where we don't have to put on a show for others, that we know we are still loved and we can admit our struggles? And of course, within our Catholic faith, we have a built-in kind of fail-safe with this, with the confessional, that we know we can always go to confession and be completely transparent and allow the Lord to heal us with his mercy through there, knowing that we are safe there. We must be transparent, but we also must be transparent with the Lord in our prayer. Have you ever yelled at the Lord in prayer? If not, you may not have yet been transparent with him. Even our Lord on the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? David in the Psalms gives us what are called the Psalms of Anger. Are we completely transparent to the Lord in our prayer? And of course, as I mentioned before, if we do that, we need to keep a cross before us, a crucifix, to remind us that the Lord's not up in heaven just not concerned at all, but that he's in the midst of the suffering with us. But we must be transparent. We don't put on a false face even in prayer. It's that transparency that allows the Lord and allows others to correct us if we begin to delude ourselves. And so today the Lord sends us a word of caution that sin is lurking for us and that we don't have power over it. If the apostles themselves knew they could commit that kind of betrayal, then all of us can. Maybe we don't have the same temptations as what's been going on, but all of us have temptations that can lead us into grave sin. And so today the apostles, the masters, teach us two key pieces: to walk in humility, to never think that we have the power to overcome all sin, and to be transparent with the Lord and with one another.